Topics for Absolute Philosopher. Tonight, we'll share the idea spiritual growth is be fun and how to be fun. Spiritual growth is to be fun and how to be fun. Be fun, what does fun mean? Well, fun comes across in a lot of different ways. And Wally Amos wrote an interesting little article for the Costco magazine, and he said, how many times have you known people who succumb to their circumstances? Too old, too young, not enough of this, too much of that. People often speak of being under the circumstances. They need to get on top of them. Recently, on a flight from Dallas to New York, I had the pleasure of meeting a flight attendant who did just that. Mindy was married for 28 years when, without any notice, her husband left her. She was devastated, to say the least. However, she wasted no time feeling sorry for herself. She began flying again 1 year after her husband left her. She had two heart surgeries and went back to work full-time 3 months later. She said, with God's help, she made the most of the circumstances. It's not just Mindy. It's in every one of us. I just finished reading a book, Touch the Top of the World, A Blind Man's Journey to Climb Further Than the Eye Can See, by Eric Weyenhauser. Eric had problems with his sight as a child. However, he never accepted the limitations of being blind, nor did his parents. He insisted on living his life by the rules, by his rules, not by the limitations of others. True, there were several times when Eric's stubbornness nearly cost him his life. However, he learned from each experience and made the necessary adjustments in his attitude as he progressed. Because of Eric's determination to climb further than the eye can see, he succeeded in scaling the 7 tallest mountains in the world, and in the process became a reminder to us of all the limitations exist only in our minds. What limiting thoughts are you allowing to prevent you from living life to the fullest? If Mindy and Eric can go beyond the fears and their doubts, so can you. Remember the words of Leonardo da Vinci as you expand your vision and climb the mountains in your life. Obstacles can never crush me. Every obstacle yields to stern reserve. Every obstacle yields to stern resolve. When you have a stern resolve, you can accomplish anything. Very fascinating. You see, to be fun, do you think that Eric had a lot of fun climbing those mountains? Do you think he had a lot of fun standing up for himself? Do you think he had a lot of fun pretending that he could see and believing he could see and hearing what he was not seeing and then seeing it with his mind's eye? Do you think that he had a very excellent motion picture camera going on inside of his head? You bet he did. And Mindy, here she was, a normal girl, married 28 years, and kapoop, it was over with. Seems to happen about that time for many people. But it was over with. Now, she could have given up. She could have been devastated by it, as she was. But she jumped right up and said, nope, I'm going to get myself a job. I'm going to do this. You have to. You've got to go on living. A divorce is like death. It's a change in partners. And if he dies or she dies, or if they go away, or, you know, he goes away or she goes away, it's the same as death. It's the same as getting used to yourself. You've got to have fun. You've got to have fun in life. And when someone dies or someone leaves or some problem, obstacle comes up, like being blind, if you say, oh, my God, there's nothing left for me to do, I might as well die. I enjoy my brother Ray. He is losing his sight, and the doctors are still working on it. They still feel, they give him operations, and they say there's no reason why you shouldn't see. But in the process, he's not seeing. And so he has gotten himself talking books, and he has got these talking books on tape, and he listens to them every day. He listens to several chapters for a certain period of time, and every day he takes a walk with his red and white cane, so he can get around. And he went in to see the doctor at one point. And he walked into the doctor's office, and the doctor says, "Ray?" And he said, "Yes." As he was standing erect, looking straight at the doctor, where the voice came from, and he could see the image, but he couldn't see the doctor. And the doctor says, "My goodness, I thought you were 100% blind, according to what the records say. And you walk in here erect, you know, with your cane out in front and knowing what you're doing and confident in yourself. You're not walking in like most of them, sort of with their nose on the floor to find out where it is as they go traveling along, because they're afraid to believe in the touch of their cane, or afraid to believe in their inner sensitivity of knowing where they are." But you see, he too is not letting that get him down. I mean, after seeing all your life, and here he is, 81 years old, and after seeing all your life, then losing your sight, that's tough. Now, Bill Ellsworth, he's going through the same thing. He's going through this project, the lessening of his sight, and what did he do? He says, "Well, I guess I'll just sit here. I guess I'll just do nothing." I haven't talked to him recently. Maybe he's out working in the yard. He has a fenced-in yard there. Maybe he's doing this or that. Who knows what he's doing? But, you see, we don't give up. Bill is probably going to live another 10 years or better. And in those 10 years, is he going to be a vegetable? Is he going to be just doing nothing just because he cannot see? Do you think perhaps in that 10 years they might have some operation that could return his sight, or maybe by some spiritual response, and he's a spiritual healer, that he could bring that sight in line, in harmony? He wouldn't have to bring the eyes to see. He brings the spirit to see. He sees with the spirit anyhow. And the eyes merely take the impressions of what's in the outer, and they bring it to your inner, but actually it's from your inner to your outer to your inner. Because whatever you see inside of yourself, that's what you see out there. And you're creating that. It's an interesting experience, and a lot of people find it very, very confusing, but it is a lot of fun. The more fun we make out of life, the more wonderful life becomes. Now, we're walking our spiritual path. And as an absolute philosopher, we're walking it from the absolute level of consciousness. And in walking it from the absolute level of consciousness, we are not limited, as Eric was not limited by humanity's expectation of a blind person. We are not limited by humanity's expectations of what we should be doing. Tonight we spent a considerable time talking about being independently wealthy, being wealthy. What does a wealthy person do? How does a wealthy person act? And at first it was saying, spend money, spend money, spend money. And that's not true. A wealthy person does not spend money. In fact, if you would know wealthy people, the big wealthy people, they don't even probably carry a wallet. They have one of their associates carry the wallet for them. They don't pay the bills. They have an associate pay the bill. I think Bill Gates likes to pay the bills himself, because that's a joy to him when he goes into McDonald's and stuff like that. But this is how that works. This is how that works. Just remember, my dear, the bigger you are, the less number of keys you have for your operations, for your buildings, for your cars and everything. And when you get down to no keys at all, you know you made it. You know you made it.
I am the owner.
No, and you have your chauffeur. And when you arrive at your office, the doors are opened. When you arrive at your personal office, the doors are open for you. When you go into your home after being away, the butler or whoever is at the door, opening the door for you. I mean, you know, when you got money, spend it. Enjoy it. But it's not a matter that he has money in his pocket. And you know what that wealthy man does? He gets on his little lawnmower, riding mower, and he mows the grass. You know that? Mm-hmm. And you know, when he's out in sitting by a swimming pool, and he sees some leaves flowing across the yard and dropping in the pool, he gets out the net and scoops them up himself. He doesn't say, oh, Joe, pool keeper, clean that out, will you? He gets over there and does it himself, not because he has to, but because he is so humble. He is so self-confident. Nobody's going to misunderstand. We saw this movie. What was its title?
Bruce Almighty.
Huh? Bruce Almighty. Yes. We saw Bruce Almighty. And what was the thing that startled Bruce Almighty before he became Almighty? The thing that startled him most was that he ended up seeing God, and God was in coveralls scrubbing the floor of the building, and God took off the coveralls, and underneath was his pure white suit, of course. And Bruce was so amazed. He was so amazed. I guess maybe you are the boss here, you know, not yet God. But Bruce contested him. He wanted to see that he really was God, what he thought God would be. And, of course, God performed for him as he wanted God to perform. And that was wonderful. But you see, God was perfectly willing to scrub a floor. God was perfectly willing to do any of the things. And you see, how did God handle everyone's prayers, which were by the bazillions that are there? He didn't show Bruce what he did, but he had a bunch of little angels working on those things, you know, and processing those things, just like the healing ministry we have here. We have a bunch of little angels who are processing the healing requests and bringing about great results. Now, do the angels have the same awareness center that God has? Oh my, yes. You see, it's fun. And would you say that the God of Almighty Bruce was a fun God? Mm. Would you say that in Oh God, remember that one? Mm. That this boy who worked in the supermarket, I think he's a box boy or something, and he says, I forget what the term was, but he all of a sudden his car filled up with water. And the policeman stopped him because he was dripping water all over the road. Why a policeman would do that would be understandable. But he stopped him. And so he opened the door and whoosh, out came all this water. And the boy was beginning to realize that God really was talking to him, that God really was doing these things, or some miracle man, or as the boys in the alley said, Almighty Bruce, Satan himself, you know. But you see, any time we're having fun, we're called stupid, we're called insane, we're called strange. And so as you have fun being yourself and having fun, just remember, the rest of the world's not going to understand you, and you don't care. You just do what pleases you, and do it in all integrity and honesty, never violating the rules of humanity as far as socially acceptable things, but just doing the things that please you and make you happy. So when you do that, you enter into an absolute understanding of what absolute philosophy means. It means taking the step beyond the limited experience that you're having right now and moving into something much finer and much greater. Consider that. Consider that very well. We had a good lesson tonight. We should have taped that too, about what it means to be wealthy. And what it means to be wealthy is to have class. And what it means to be wealthy is to have charisma, is to have self-confidence. See, all these things are what it is to be a master. Mm-hmm. And so you can say that a wealthy man is a master, and certainly a master is a wealthy man.
Oh, yeah.
So accept that laurel, that gift, that praise, that honor, for it is bestowed upon you with reason. So know that it's done for you now.
Okay.
And you're wonderful, and I'm wonderful, and we live in a fabulous, fabulous world. I love you, I love you, I love you.